like people. And we are in a series of understanding only one concept, and this is the second year that we're working at it, and that is the issue of Zman. And we're going through every single halacha from the beginning of Shulchan Aruch till the end of Shulchan Aruch to understand Zman. And the attendant halachas and the problems. We're in the second year, as I say, and we're up to understanding Zman, the time, the proper time for putting on tefillin. We did tzitzis, and connected into that is the issue. Once you talk about tzitzis, you have to talk about tefillin. Menachos daf lamed vav amud aleph, I said, about 9 lines from the bottom of amud aleph, Tanu Rabbanan, tefillin me'emosai. We learn in a braisa, Tanu Rabbanan, tefillin me'emosai. When is the mitzvah of tefillin? When does it begin? Answers the braisa, mevarech aleihem mishas hanachasan. You make a brocha on the tefillin from the moment that you are capable of putting it on. Ketzad, give me details. Hayom Ashkim Latzeis LaDerech, you had to get up very early to go on a trip. Umisyarei, and you are afraid, Shema Yeavdu, that they will be lost if you hold on to the tefillin. Therefore, no matter how early it is Manichan, you put them on, Uchshiagia Zman, and when the proper time comes, and we still haven't established what the proper time is, is memashmesh bahen, you just simply touch the tefillin that you already have on your hand and on your head by just touching them, umevarech aleihem, and then at its proper time you go ahead and make the bracha.
It assumes wearing it from effectively during the
whole. Well, you had to put on tefillin, right? That was the question of the Braisa Ketzad, what's going on here. Mm-hmm. That you did leave before Zman Hanachasan, before the proper time, and afraid that you would lose it. So you say, how can a human being lose it? I'll tell you how. You put it on to make sure that you have it for its proper time. And it's on you, so it doesn't go. Several years ago, a person, Rabbi Poplak of the Ahavas, calls me up. He says, look, a woman came in and brings me a pair of tefillin. They look like a very expensive pair of tefillin. Do you know of anyone who lost? I said, I don't know. Where were they found? Well, found by the railroad tracks on John Street, right? You know, Young Israel area. And since it's Young Israel territory, he figures, you know, must be someone by Young Israel. I said, I haven't heard of anyone having lost tefillin, but in any event, in case it happens, I surely will call you. Are there any identifying marks? He says, no, not really. There's no name on it. Just that there are the initials of Dalet Aleph Vov on the zekel, on the case. Dalet Aleph Vov, strange, Daniel Elchanan Wasserman has those initials. That's my number 2 son, you see. Now, Daniel Elchanan Wasserman is a genius when it comes to the Derech Kitzara Shehi Aruka. He always takes the short cut that lands up to be a little longer than you expected. What did he do? He got off at the train at Passaic Avenue in Van Houten, and he has this feeling that he just doesn't want to burden anyone at home, because either I'll come and pick him up or Leah will come and pick him up. Didn't want to, so he walks. Now, if he has to walk and he's carrying all of his stuff, all of his laundry from yeshiva, so why shouldn't he take the easy route? And he walks the tracks and comes down on John Street and comes home. Well, indeed he was carrying his tefillin. And he did not know that it slipped out of his hand and he lost them. You see. All $500 or whatever.
It wasn't expensive.
I mean, that was it. Now, this is precisely what, you know, when this happened, the proverbial, it just blew my mind. As if B'derech Nevuah, the Braisa, was written for a certain Daniel Elchanan Wasserman coming home from yeshiva. But this is the way it is. You forget it. You have your attaché. It doesn't fit in your attaché. Whatever it is. And you want to make certain that you don't lose them. So you put them on. But bracha you cannot say, because the Zman is not there. You'd have that element of Zman. And we still didn't establish. Let's continue in the Brisa. And clearly I say we still don't know the starting time. Yes.
I was going to say, it's interesting that they called you about it.
Well, because of the area. The woman said she found it close to Yom Yisroel. That was if it were elsewhere, so he would have called and called ultimately. I'm sure about that, but that's neither here nor there. The Admasai, the Gemara continues, the Brisa continues, the Admasai Manichan, until what time can you put on tefillin in the day? First opinion, Tanakhama's opinion is Ad Shetishkachama, until Shkia. That's the end of the day. Second opinion, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Rabbi Yaakov holds Ad Shetichle Regel Min Ashuk. You saw this thing until people no longer are walking. You saw this halacha one other time.
Okay.
That's it. That's the only other time that you really saw it. Okay? But this is approximately a half an hour after it gets dark. People are not in the street any longer. Third opinion in the Brisa is v'chachamim omrim ad zman shena, until people go to sleep. That is when tefillin come off. Umodim chachamim, and the Brisa continues to say that chachamim who hold that you can keep tefillin on until you go to sleep. Not le Rabbi Yaakov, but it should be v'Rabbi Yaakov. I think that's a better text. Modim chachamim v'Rabbi Yaakov, that both these second opinions do admit she'im chalutzam l'tzeis l'veis ha'kisei, that if towards the end of the day, after Shkia, you took it off to be able to go to the bathroom, only kanes l'veis ha'merchatz, you have to go into the shower house, v'shak achama, and it is already past Shkia, that shuv eino chozer manichan. That even though Chachamim and Rabbi Yaakov maintain that tefillin should be on until after Tzeis HaKochavim, until the time they go to sleep, nonetheless, if after Shkia you have already had to take off your tefillin because you're not allowed to go in to the Beis HaKisei or Beis HaMerchatz with tefillin, nonetheless, you don't have to put it on again. That's the end of the Brisa. Omar Rav Nachman, commenting on the Brisa, you have a three-way machlokas, halacha ke Rabbi Yaakov. In his opinion, Rav Nachman says, the time for tefillin is from early morning, and we still didn't establish that time, until the limits that Rabbi Yaakov holds, and Rabbi Yaakov said, what? Sh'ad she'tichle regel min ha'shuk, until people no longer are around.
So far, they're only establishing when the end of tefillin.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in the beginning they don't say
it. Nothing here outright, and that's when we get into the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see what's what. The reason that they don't say it is because we already took up that issue with tzitzis, and tzitzis is linked to tefillin, and tefillin is linked to Kriyat Shema. They are all one time. Okay? Amar Rav Nachman halacha k'Rabbi Yaakov. However, the Gemara says Rav Chista, and also Rabba bar Rav Huna, did not hold like Rabbi Yaakov. The Matzlu Beholda also. And they would go ahead and daven. Oh, excuse me, I'm reading it wrong. And Rab Chista and Rab Huna would daven Beursa at night with their tefillin. So it's not that they disagree with Rabbi Yaakov. This first statement is that they happen to agree with Rabbi Yaakov. And proof of it is that they were seen, Rav Chista and Rav Huna, Rabba bar Rav Huna were both seen having davened at night with their tefillin.
Oh, and it was
yeah. Okay. A davened Myron. Simple.
With the tefillin on.
With tefillin on. Which obviously means that they held like Rabbi Yaakov. Or at least like Rabbi Yaakov. Ikat Amri, there are those who learn this statement of Rav Nachman entirely differently, just the other way around. Not that Rav Yaakov and Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna agree with one another, but just the other way around. Ein halacha, that Rav Nachman said, ein halacha to Rabbi Yaakov. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yaakov. V'ho. And if you'll ask me, but how about Rav Chista and Rabba bar Rav Huna matzlu behol be'ursa? What about those two who davened at night with tefillin on? So maybe this is an indication that the halacha is like Rabbi Yaakov? The answer is, according to this second version, Hahu Pelige. These two are in disagreement. They have a machlokes. with Rabbi Yaakov. And they did it specifically to show that they disagreed with Rabbi Yaakov. So at this point we see that Rabbi Bar Rav Huna maintains that at night time, after Shkia, you still have tefillin. Whereupon the Gemara... Problem, Vaughn? Got it?
Okay, Ika Damri.
Yeah?
In Lach HaKarav Yaakov. Lach is not like Rav Yaakov in that, for what? The time to take off is...
That tefillin is that you can go as late as Ad Shetichle Regel Min HaShuk. And obviously, okay. If the halacha is not like Rabbi Yaakov, it's not like Chachomim either.
Okay.
Got it? So obviously, the third opinion is it's got to come off at Shkia.
Right. Okay.
It's a daytime mitzvah.
Okay, but what Rav Chista and Rav Chuna wearing them at night...
At Ma'ariv.
At Ma'ariv, how is that?
To show that halacha lo to Rabbi Yaakov.
Rabbi Yaakov holds it.
Wait a minute.
You know, maybe it's after...
No.
Hold on. Now, go back again. Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yaakov.
Right. We have to go off the street.
No, just a minute. And therefore? Okay, and therefore what?
Therefore, Zman Tefillin ends at Shkia.
At Shkia.
No.
Why can't it be all night long?
No,
because that would be like... Rabbi Yaakov says you wear... You can wear it at night.
Okay,
how late at night is it? You still wear it at night.
So you can't,
it's not like Rabbi Yaakov, you don't wear tefillin at night, you stop wearing tefillin at Shkia. Okay, Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Chuna both wore it for Ma'ariv at night. So how are they not agreeing with Rabbi Yaakov? Unless they felt that, like the Chalim, that it's all night, that it's even later. But that's...
Go into Tosfos on the second page, maybe he can help you there. On the second side. The first tells us up on top. Rav Chista v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna matzle behol be'usa. Right? They used to daven Ma'ariv with it.
Right.
Pshitale, it's obvious, as Tosfos, the Hodaka Omar Rav Nachman ain halacha k'Rav Yaakov. That if we learn that the girsa is that Rav Nachman did not hold that the halacha was like Yaakov, lav mishum, not because sheyehei halacha k'chachomim. Not because it's like Chachomim, which is later.
Okay,
the Imkain, for if so, Rav Nachman should have said, Lema halacha ke Chachomim. Finish, he should have said it outright. Ela lemeima, come to tell you that the halacha is ketana kama.
Right, which says...
Okay? Alright, so, ho de lo amar halacha ketana kama, and this is your question. Why doesn't he say outright, straight, that the halacha is like tana kama? So he said it's a strange lesson, you're correct. And not only Lorne Schechter was bothered by it, Tosis was bothered by it also. Lefisha hadavar shanui stam, velo niskarba lashon rabim velo lashon yachid. A very strange construction, Tosis. He says simply that the way the Brisa originates is you have the first Brisa, the first opinion in Brisa, which is Shkia. Doesn't say who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Second opinion is Rav Yaakov, an individual.
Right.
Who is the third opinion?
Rabbi.
Chachomim. One would obviously look at this Brisa and say, just a minute. If the halacha is not like Rav Yaakov, the natural tendency should be to whom? To Chachomim, because Yochid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim.
Right.
Okay. But I can't let you think that. Because when Rav Nachman said, Ein halacha k'Rabbi Yaakov, I wanted to rule out Rabbi Yaakov and anyone else who holds like Rabbi Yaakov, meaning that I go to Tana Kama, which is a bigger Rabbim than the Chachomim. And this is how he did it. This is how he was able to say it. Because naturally, if you're going to rule out Rabbi Yaakov, the next natural step is to say, well, probably then it's like Chachomim, and that's not what Rav Nachman is trying to tell us. And he wants to rule out Rav Yaakov, the individual, and Chachomim, the group, and tell you that Tana Kama is even a bigger Rabbim than the Chachomim stated here.
I'm still confused.
Mark.
Okay. I don't understand the raya they can bring from Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Chama. Okay. Rav Bar Huna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The why they said they wore them at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How does that affect Rav Yaakov one way or the other?
No. In the second girsa of the Ika de Amrei, in the second girsa, once Rav Nachman says, Ein halacha ka Rav Yaakov,
right.
Okay?
Then
it means halacha ketana kama.
Which means shkia.
That's all shkia.
Okay, so what's the raya that...
And Rabbah and Rav Nachman did not paskin. Rav Huna did not paskin that way.
Like Rav Nachman.
Like Rav Nachman, who also was an Amora, who held that in the Braisa the halacha is like Tanakama at Shkia.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
So it was a machlokes amoraim. That's
okay.
All it is.
Okay.
All right. Now, which leaves you only with that one question.
But this statement, statement about Rav Chista and Rabbah Rav Huna has nothing to do with Rav Yaakov.
That's correct. And okay. Tosus is explaining to you that the reason that this is there is because the options in this three-way machlokes kind of limit you to what to say.
Okay.
You understand?
I understand that.
Because if Rav Nachman would have said, well, halacha to ketana kama, dollars to donuts, you know what the next question would have been in the Gemara? But don't be paskin yachid for rabim, halacha to rabim. And you got a chachomir over there that's a rabim. Why shouldn't you? And I understand that it's not like Rav Yaakov, but maybe it's like chachomir. In order to prevent such a trend of thinking, he said it this way. And is
the Tanakama the editor of the Gemara?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. Tanakama is a symbolic name, is a term for the overwhelming majority of those who held that one opinion. And the reason that it is called Tanakama, it's because Tana means the Rebbe who taught, and Kama means the first. But Kama means primary. The primary teaching among all of Tanoim in this Braisa was without question Ad Shkia. Rabbi Yaakov disagreed, and there were Chachomim, other Chachomim, still not the majority. Still not as much as the Tana Kama. They weren't the road. More than Rabbi Yaakov, who maintained that tefillin could be worn until nighttime and you know, throughout nighttime until you go to sleep. And it's the sleeping that necessitates that you take off the tefillin. Not the night, but the sleeping. There's something offensive, difficult with sleeping in tefillin that
Ad
is the problem.
Adzman
shena, until you go to sleep. And the time for going to sleep, the problem is not the time itself, but is the activity of sleep, which in Yetz Hashem we will see when we get to, when we get through the rest.
On a matter of procedure here, or method, very often you'll come across one individual says such and such, but the Chachamim say this, and usually you'll go to the Chachamim. But just as often I've come across where it says, Chachamim say this, and Rabbi Yehuda says this, and Halacha ka Rabbi Yehuda.
Correct.
So, is it just potluck who wins out of each argument? Or?
No.
In other words,
we have standard rules of how to paskin. You start with the rule Halacha the Yochanan ka Rabbi, it's Halacha ka Rabbi. The majority wins. However, here are the following exceptions, and then there's a whole list that. And Rabbi Yossi has a machlokas with Chavero, with his contemporaries, halachic to Rabbi Yossi, except in this instance. So we have all of these rules. I dare say that the rules for Sika, for decision, are about 90% agreed upon.
Where are they documented? In one sefer?
Oh, yeah, we now have it. Sure, we can. I can give you a sefer.
Brother.
I can give you a sefer.
Just name it. What is it?
Well, Halichas Olam. Is that safer? You have it?
Yeah.
That's probably one of the best. There's another one, Darchei Noam. Mike refers to the work of Rav Shmuel HaNagid at Hakdamala Mavola Talmud.
That's in the Gemara.
That's in Masechet Brachos. Tragically incomplete. Obviously, the manuscript is totally incomplete. Either we've lost it or he never wrote it. Probably we lost it.
That's an English.
It's
one
now been
Brown,
translated into English. Yeah.
Brown introduction to Talmud.
Yeah, but around this Mavoa Talmud, you have far more commentary and update of the various poskim of the days and ages who followed Rav Shmuel HaNavi to update what the rules are. But these rules are clearly stated, and as I say, about 90% agreed upon. Give or take a couple of rules. There are some that poskim just don't agree with. Whereas the Rif would go ahead and say he'd pass in one way, the Rambam would say, no, I don't accept that, for good reason. Mm-hmm. And each time, for good reason. Now, let's hold it here. We will come back to this tomorrow. But just do me a favor. Along with, in keeping with the suggestion that doesn't appear on tape and totally... that was totally out of context of the series, that's Mike's suggestion, that there should be a little tidbit on Shalom every time. Those of you who know me know that I relish every opportunity to be able to stick in this inconsistency that I see in our collective behavior whenever it comes to davening. And I am not concerned about the non-Torah Jew in this respect, because he's not or she is not initiated. That's not to say I'm not concerned about them. I'm always concerned about them. My concern is that the one who bedavke has accepted to daven, and at times with talis and tefillin, the behavior is so inconsistent. If you, we'll learn the rest of this block, but if you just, before we leave it, to just pander to my obsessions. If you could please find about 2, 4, 6, or 7 lines in the bottom of this Amud. Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Chayev Adam L'Mashmei. You have it? Got it? Omar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Chayev Adam L'Mashmei Shvi Tefillin B'chol Sha'ot. Theoretically, every time tefillin is on you, at every moment, you should touch it. And the touching is a sense of awareness that it is on you. And needless to say, from the touching and the sense of the awareness, you arrive at a higher level of kedusha. Okay? Kal v'chomer, he says, I learned this din as a kal v'chomer mitzitz, from the head plate, the tzitz, that the Kohen Gadol wore. The tzitz hazov, the golden headband that the Kohen Gadol had to wear, which said Kodesh Lashem, Kodesh L'Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it was part of his uniform, he says, is the proof that a person who wears tefillin, who's a simple Yisrael, has got to go ahead and be aware of tefillin on him all the time. And here is the Kal V'chomer. U'matzitz she'ein bo ela askara achas. If you look at the tzitz, this head plate, that only had Shem Hashem written only once, is Amra Torah, the Torah said, V'haya al mitzchot tamid, that this tzitz had to be on the metzach, on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol at all times. Why? Sheloz tasiach da'ato mimenu, so that he never forgets what his destiny is. Kodesh Lashem. Who is the Kodesh Lashem? The Kohen himself is Kodesh Lashem. Mm-hmm. And that's why he is released from all kinds of other responsibilities. You're not allowed to have land. You're not allowed to go work outside the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to be metame to mesim, which is a normal and natural responsibility that any human being has. So it says, Rabba Bar Rav Huna, if this is the case, tefillin sheyesh bahen askaros harbei, tefillin where Shem Hashem is mentioned so many times, I think, I'm not mistaken, I think it's 42 or 44 times that Yud Kei Vav Kei is there. Is Alachas Kama V'Kama all the more that you are working on Kedusha or reminders of Kedusha 42 or 44, and don't hold me to that number. I haven't checked it in a long time. I remember some kid needed a Dvar Torah, so I counted it. I don't remember, and it's a symbolic number. But believe me, it is not twice, it is not 10 times, it is considerably more. Is alachas kama v'kama all the more that shelo tasiach datam mehem, that how can a human being go ahead and forget that tefillin are with him, and go off and God knows what, you know, even go up and put money into the pushka, or count money into the pushka, or have a conversation, or whatever it is. It's an incredible kind of a thing. This is one of the most powerful halachas that Rabba Bar Rav Huna has ever given us. And it gets lost. It gets lost because I don't think they teach menachos in elementary school and in high school. And most of the yeshivas don't even bother touching menachos unless you're on your own.
Why can't they teach Shmona by Shema and Brachos?
Because it's... Tefillin is not a din that was designed to be connected to davening. Tefillin was supposed to be on you all the time. You learned it in the Braisa, even through the night. And according to Chachamim, it is only because you go to sleep that you have to take tefillin off. In other words, if you didn't have to go to sleep, you know, if there's some way to program you or plug you in to a generator to regenerate you so that you don't need any sleep, then probably you'd have the tefillin on all the time.
Fucking daytime because he works at night.
He would take it. What? Hold on. We'll get to that in Shulchan Aruch. Let's take a look at Rambam first.
That's why the last day, they wear tefillin all the time.
And took his cat naps and did not take it off necessarily. He used to nap during the day. He didn't take it off. Did not take it off.
You have two categories: asiyas hamitzvah and
kiyum
hamitzvah and
maase. The maase.
The maase and the kiyum.
Maase is the action.
Yeah, and the kiyum.
You said it as asiyas hamitzvah.
Yeah.
And the kiyum
is what, kavanah hamitzvah or
is the essence kavanah plus.
So then, would you say that the kiyum hamitzvah in most of what we do is lost simply from ignorance or whatever, or the way we learn things?
Oh yeah. Question.
Is that the same thing as what you just said? Wearing tefillin, so we do the ma'aseh, but we forget what the kiyum hamitzvah is.
I want to say it more more abruptly. I just mentioned a figure, tefillin $500. Okay. The Vilna Gaon would have been astounded, and was indeed, at how much we spend for the batim of tefillin. We make it out of or echad, one piece of leather, and it's gassos, it's the heavy, thick leather. And let me tell you something, that costs money. There's no question about it that the workmanship on that bias has got to cost $200-$250 easily. There is another way to make batim, or to obtain batim for, I don't know, $35, $40, $50. It's called pshutim. Tiny, thin pieces of leather, and where you have to fill it out and mold it out, it's pasted together layer on top of layer. And the Vilna Gaon said there's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Elama, we machmir. Hidur mitzvah. Okay? No, you know, but the Hidur, which has a certain percentage to it, has gone so out of sight. So out of sight. And the only way you can answer it is that the $250 pair of batim probably lasts you for 40, 50 years. So when you get down to it, it's as economical as the $35 batim. Because the $35 batim you'll have to replace every couple of years. They will become distorted and so on and so forth. And disfigured. That's the only answer to it. But my point is this: in the maaseh hamitzvah, in the technical expression of the mitzvah, we have blown the needle off of the gauge in spending 5, 6, 7. And there are yeshivas who wouldn't dare touch a $500 pair of tefillin. 8 to 1,000 today, and they'll wait a year or two for just one man who knows how to make it. Good, I hear. Tovo aleihem birchas kol haTorah kula. There are no two ways about it. But when you read this, don't learn it. I said, read this. Is there any way that you can misinterpret what the essence, what the kiyum ha-mitzvah is. Is it the spending of the $500, or Rabbi Rav Chana tells you that you stand on a level of awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you have tefillin on that is probably 40 times or more the intensity that the Kohen Gadol had when he wore the tzitzas on? How much more can you say? Where is he asking, Rabbi Rav Chana, where is he asking you to invest your energy? In the awareness of what this is all about. Not in the what we've called the kiyum. Mm. Now, you cannot blame me that I didn't teach you this, because, friend, I did teach it to you. I didn't teach it to you soon enough. No, so ask for a refund on myself.
You're entitled. You're right.
But this is now. Again, you look for perushim. You look to say that this isn't really what he says. What can I tell you? So it goes back to our shachris, and when we have limited ourselves, those 40, 45 minutes, if this be the case, when tefillin are on us, should be, you know, you're dancing with the angels. That's a tough one. You've got to work on it. Let's look at Hilchos Tefillin, in the Rambam. Perek Dalet.
I just took one.
There should be some other Rambams here. And please remember that the one thing that we didn't solve from the Gemara is we know when to get tefillin off. We don't know when to put tefillin on. We still don't know that. And
we have tefillin.
Perek Dalet. It's filling as an Ava, Perek Dalet. Okay. Perek Dalet Halacha Yud. Zman anachas tefillin. The time to put on tefillin is bayom velo balayla. Okay, lo balayla means that the Rambam paskins like whom? Like Chachomim, like Rabbi Yaakov, or like Tanakama? Obviously, like Tanakama. Okay? Bayom, however, still needs clarification. Shenemar, however, he says, we learn this pasuk from, we learn this halacha from the words that we have to yet see in Chumash, in Parshas Tefillin, which we will see when we come back and finish the rest of this Gemara, miyamim yamima, from day to day. Now, those words from day to day are open to machlokes, because not everyone translates it literally from day to day and applies it to tefillin. There are others who hold me, yamim yamino means l'dor doro, forever and ever, ad olam, day after day, day after day. And it doesn't mean day, it means far more than a day. Okay, chukazo hi mitzvah tefillin, hu mitzvah tefillin. In this law, v'shamata es hachukazo, miyamim yamima, is the pasuk. Mishamata, you'll observe, hachuka, this law, hazos, miyamim yamima, says the Rambam, chuka zo refers he mitzvahs tefillin. V'chein also, Shabbosos v'yomim tovim, Shabbos and Yom Tov, enan zaman tefillin, are not the proper time, shenema v'hayala os al yadacha, l'totafos ben einecho. It's got to be a sign, v'shabbosos v'yomim tovim, hein atzman os. You don't need the os, you don't need the sign of remembrance of tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when Shabbos itself is Osi, Bris La'olam, Osi, Beni Uvencha, Osi. Okay? It's an Os, it symbolizes something. And the same symbolization of Shabbos is equivalent to Yom Tov, and we learn it out from Sukkim. If you want to see that, I can show them to you. And therefore, you don't need an extra Os, you don't need an extra sign of reminder. Continues the Rambam, Ume'emasai zman hanachatam. He's got to answer the question. When do you start putting on tefillin? Says the Rambam, Yishyires chaverob berichuk arba amos, when you see your friend in a distance of about 8 feet, 6 to 8 feet, arba amos, V'yakirehu. Then you go ahead and you're capable of recognizing him because it's still not light, fully light outside. Ad shetishka chama. And the time is from then until shkiyas chama, like Tanakama. Yud Aleph. Mi sheiniach tefillin kodem shetishka chama. You put it on before shkiyah. The chashcha alav, and the day has already passed and it became dark. Afidu hein alav kol halayla, even though you went and kept them on all night, mutar. It is permitted to keep them on at night. But, says the Rambam, ve'ein morim davar ze larabim. You don't dare tell this to the masses. Ela melamdim es hakol, but rather you tell them something else. You teach everyone shelo yanichu tefillin alehem balayla, that you don't wear tefillin at night. Ela yachaltzu otam mishetishka chama, and you take them off at shkia. This is one of the subjects I learned one Shavuos night several years ago. Halacha ve'ein morim kein. Okay. Further says the Rambam, v'chol aminiach tefillin, anyone who puts on tefillin lechatchila, to begin with, achar shkiyat hachama, to begin with, that lechatchila doesn't mean not the regular lechatchila under optimum conditions. It means to begin with that he doesn't have tefillin or didn't put on tefillin during the day and the daytime, and after shkiyah he gets a pair of tefillin, is over belav. He goes ahead and breaks a losa. And this in and of itself is a machlokus in this piece of Gemara that we will yet see. Shenema, based on the same pasuk, v'shamarta, you must be careful. Shmira, es hachukah hazos miyamim yamima. Now shmira, at least according to the Rambam, the way he paskins, is a lav. You're not allowed to do something. Not everyone says that. We'll see in the Gemara when we get back to it that may be something else.
What would Rambam say for one who does keep it on after Shkia and then has to go to the bathroom? So he takes it off.
Yeah.
Because he wanted them to put it back on after he comes out of the
bathroom.
So the Gemara says further. And the Rambam also. The Gemara says further. Sofik Yom, Sofik Laila. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll come back.
No, Mamish Laila.
Don't put it on.
Gemara said no.
Don't put it on. Go to Halacha Yud Beis. Haya Baba Derech, you were traveling. Utefillin Barasho, you have tefillin on. Why does it say tefillin Barasho? What about the Yad? Because you will see it's based on a pasuk. And again, it's based on the Gemara also on this page, which in Yetz Hashem will see. Remember the pasuk in Shema? V'haya lecha la'ot al yadcha uletotafot b'ninecha. Or better still, let's quote it from the first paragraph of Shema. Alright? U'kishaltam le'os al yadecha v'hayu letotafos b'ninecha. V'hayu letotafos, hayu is lashon rabim, it's plural. The Gemara learns from this that the shel rosh always implies that there is another one over there, because it says v'hayu letotafos b'ninecha. Should have said al pi pshat or al pi digdol v'haya letotafos b'ninecha. No, but from the v'hayu, which is a strange grammatic construction, you learn that when the tefillin shel rosh is on, automatically you must have the tefillin shel yad, so that you can be mekayim v'hayu, that they will be between your eyes. They meaning first the one on the hands and then on the one on the head. Based on this, this is where he picks it up. Hayaba baderech utfilin b'roshel means plural. That if it's b'roshel, then certainly before he had it on his hand.
The word tfilin itself is plural.
Yeah, but you may... No. So then you may claim that the tfilin is because you have the four paushios over there. Uh-huh. Possible that you can claim it that way. Uh-huh. All right?
So we make the bracha on the yod. And then we suffix as to whether we make a bracha.
Not everyone holds that way. I'm not teaching brachos, you know. There are some who hold, Rashi being among them, that you make one bracha on both tefillin, And there's only one time and one occasion when you substitute, when you add a second bracha, and that is soch bein tefillin mitfillin. If there was a hefsek of interrupted thought between one and the other, you know, so this is a machlokes. But nonetheless, despite your question, this information still stands. Hayabah baderech utfilin baroshal v'shake alav hachama. Erech Shabbos, you're coming and shkia occurred. V'kadash hayom. And that's why I have to say that that this is Erech Shabbos. Kadash hayom. The day became kadosh, which meant it was either Shabbos or Yom Tov. Is maniach yado alehem. You go ahead and you put your hands over the tefillin ad shehu magia lebeito, until he comes to his house b'choleitz, to hide them, to specifically hide them, because we learned that Shabbos and Yom Tov is not a time of tefillin.
Which you're having, the one on the head?
Probably the one on the head. And obviously he can go ahead and then so he can cover it with a hat if he has a hat that does cover it.
Hand, usually they'll have these long cloaks.
You have covered with your outer clothing. You were sitting and learning. On Erev Shabbos or Erev Yom Tov, tefillin be'or shel v'kodash olav hayom, is maniach yado aleihem ad shemagia lebeitzo v'choleitz. V'im yesh bayis samuch lachoma shemishtamrim bo, but if you're coming on a trip and you come to the city gates, if there's a house samuch lachoma right at the entrance of the gates to the city, shemishtamrim bo, that you'd be able to take off your tefillin and let them stay protected with shmirah until the end of Shabbos or Yom Tov, is manicham shav. Don't wait till you come to your home. Take it off there. V'im lo chalatz tefilav misha shake ahachama. If you didn't take it off at the time of shkia, mipnei shelo haya lo makom l'shomran, you weren't able to protect it, and that's why they're on you. V'nimtze'u alav kedei l'shomran, and they were on you in order to protect the kedushas tefillin, is definitely mutar. You can go ahead and do such a thing. But you see, but if the halacha says mutar, it's mutar. And again, the Gemara goes ahead and indicates that sure, you're right that Marisayin plays a part over here, and there's an interesting conversation between two Amorim, which in Yetz Hashem we'll see.
Yeah, but it's more important not to have the tefillin destroyed.
Okay.
Case, it seems to me. If I have a dollar bill, do I have to get rid of it on Shabbos? Where's the dividing line?
Yes, you know why? Because Shabbos is Lavzman dollar bill in your pocket. It's Muktzeh.
So it's full?
So hold on. But there's only one problem. Not everyone may agree, first of all.
I don't know.
But we didn't see it. We got to go back to Tanoim. Not everyone may agree. And then, certainly, if there is room to see that the halacha really isn't maintained 100% that way, that maybe tefillin is a mitzvah for all times. Maybe. If that's the case, bishas hadachak, surely I have room to budge.
Then maybe women.
Well, obviously. Obviously, what we have to, but all right, it has nothing to do with Zman, except that this, that maybe there are those who hold that tefillin are mitzvah saseh that have nothing at all to do with Zman grama, and therefore women are not potter. So, it's a Zman concept, which you don't think I'm going to learn that soon? Obviously, I will. But I can't do it all in one night. Yud Gimel, kol ha-potter mikriya shema is potter mitefillin. Anyone who is exempt from Kriya Shema, are women exempt from Kriya Shema? Don't answer all at once. Huh? Are women exempt from Kriya Shema? Some say yes, some say no.
Now,
we'll see.
If they would be not exempt, then they would have to be
So you see, this is the next area that we have to invade.
Kriya Shema is b'shoch b'chol kumecho.
Yeah.
So b'shoch b'chol is at night, so that Esh v'zach, it's zman gromo. It says it's mitzvah zman gromo. When is the time? B'shoch b'chol kumecho. So in other words, if in the afternoon you don't have to learn Kriya Shema, right? Therefore, it's Zman Gomer. And because it's Zman Gomer, and Nashim Tulas Mezmer Mitzvah Shah Zman Gomer.
Sounds good until we get to the Gemara, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, which in Mitzvah Shem will do. There's everything that you said is entirely correct. The only thing is, are there others who have other cheshbonos? Okay? Kol ha-patur mikriyas shema is patur mitfilin. Nonetheless, katan sheyodea lishmor tefilah, if a katan before bar mitzvah is capable of caring properly for the kedushas tefilin, is aviv lokeach lo tefilin, father goes ahead and purchases tefillin kidei lechanecho b'mitzvot, to teach him. Go to Yudalit.
I'm bothered by that. But
why?